there are some people in all of our lives who we just love being with. Every time we see them, it's great. Maybe we feel a real sense of peace, of home, of belonging. Maybe they make us laugh so much. We love being with them. It cheers us up. It raises our spirits. We go away feeling fizzy and recharged. Maybe there are people who we know who just make us feel really reassured. Even if life is difficult, this is the person who's just going to walk with me and help me along the way. Well, it could be someone in your family. It could be a friend. If you, there are lots of little ones here, I'll be talking about school. It could be somebody you know at church. Somebody you're excited to see, and somebody that you feel you can really be yourself with. Would anyone like to tell me who that person or people is for them? Husbands, what a great chance to score a brownie point. William.
Someone I'm looking for or reassured is you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Anybody else?
Mel makes me laugh.
Ash, well done, well done. Isn't that great? Anybody else got somebody? Maybe you've got a friend you've had for a really long time. You don't see them very often, but when you're with them, it's just years have gone.
All my close friends, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, friendships are important, but Ashley's very important. Whenever I want to talk, it's through Ashley's very go-to.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Eileen.
Well, I just love seeing all my family,
yeah.
Whoever they are.
Yeah.
They're all most welcome, and I love going to their place. And, you know, I don't need to say about Steve, he's mm-hmm. just a constant.
Yeah.
But my son is so optimistic and upbeat.
Mm.
It's just a joy to see him.
Mm.
And you come away, and, like you just said, the fear. A little bit sad because it'd be a time before we could see him again.
Yeah.
But
isn't that great? That's love in action, isn't it? When we feel those things. Sarita?
My mum makes me feel safe and reassured.
Mm, good, mm-hmm. good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Well, I'm the season of new friends, and I am really grateful for Lisa, who's come and sung week after week, who is so down to earth, and we laugh as we practice. She's a joy to have in the music group with us. And someone who Lisa knows, my friend Annie, who is in my house group, who I prayed for a friend a few years ago. I said, Lord, send me somebody who's on my wavelength and who I can support as well. And he sent me Annie, who I'm always so grateful to see. She comes to my house and 3 hours later we stop talking and have a cup of tea, which is really great. Lynn?
I've got a good friend who's probably a little bit younger than me. She's a Christian, but she's had kidney problems all her life, all the time I've known her, and she's not been able to get a transplant, so she's been on dialysis ever since I've known her. And that is three times a week. So three times a week, she's hooked up to a machine that completely changes her blood, and she's hooked up to this machine all day long. But she uses that time to read Christian books and to read the Bible and to pray for people. And she is the most cheerful person I've ever known. She laughs absolutely, I don't know what the word is,
hysterically,
at all sorts of things. She's a wonderful person to be around, and it's just such an encouragement, despite her, particularly in her situation, is amazing.
Thank you. Some of us are fortunate that we've got people here this morning who are people we just love being with. Some of us, as we're talking, are remembering people who were hugely influential in our lives, who made us who we are, really, and who we're so grateful for. Others of us have got friends and family far away this morning. Carlene and Kyrie are away from their mum and dad, who are in Indonesia, but they've been talking to them already today, which is lovely. My brother's over in Vancouver. Many of you have got people who are at distance to you this morning, and who maybe you'll see over the Christmas season, but maybe not. Having people that we love and we love being with is a real gift. We have our beautiful Christmas Day banner this morning, but yesterday we had our banner which says, Emmanuel, God is with us. And you'll all know that verse in Isaiah 7:14 that says, she will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That verse comes back again in Matthew 1:23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Well, I looked up the word with. I had a brief conversation with Richard last Sunday morning, talking about what he was going to preach on yesterday. And we were talking about this amazing notion of God with us. So with, I looked up it up in the dictionary. It says, is used to say that people or things are in a place together or are doing something together. And I thought, isn't that interesting? We are in a place where God comes and dwells with us. And we are in a place where we and God are doing something together. We are called not just to serve and follow along. We're called to act, to do things that serve God's purposes, to be people who bring God glory. I was reflecting that Jesus came to be with us. And I was thinking recently about where God, where Jesus was and what it meant to come here. So Jesus, for eternity, was in the glory and majesty of heaven. And heaven is glorious and majestic because God is there. God is the light in heaven. It says that there is no sun in heaven. There doesn't need to be, because the glory of God lights everything up. And he came from that. He came from being worshipped and adored by the angels through eternity. And he came here to us. He came to be with us, and his life was so important that for 2,000 years, millions and millions and millions of people have chosen to live their life by his example. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I was thinking, as I do, as I ponder away, I was thinking to myself, the Bible story is full of angels coming to speak to people and saying, do not be afraid. Gabriel appears a lot, doesn't he, saying, do not be afraid, which seems to be the first thing that angels need to say throughout the whole Bible. Because the presence of an angel, you know, we have this kind of image of fluffiness and white and blonde, but actually the Bible image of angels is quite terrifying. These are angelic beings used to being around the throne of God. So actually seeing an angel is quite a terrifying thing. So they say, don't be afraid, simply so the people who see him can calm down enough to listen to the message. And yet Gabriel and the other angels who appear in the Christmas story must have thought, what is this? What is this? Jesus, who we worship day and night, is coming here to this place, to the dirt and the squalor and all of these irritating, annoying human beings. You, I know the angels would never, no one would question God, but they must have, you kind of hope they were in on the plan, because otherwise that would have been a bit bemusing, wouldn't it? It's a bit like saying to the king at the moment, well, come out of the glory and the beauty and the of one of your palaces and come and have lunch in the homeless shelter in Bristol. It's a bit of a juxtaposition, isn't it, of beauty and wealth and glory and wonder and being served and being adored into somewhere where you're nobody and you're nothing. And that's what Jesus came to be, nobody and nothing. We know who he was. That's because we live after his arrival and his death and resurrection. But at the time, very few people knew who he was. He came to be nobody and nothing. And so when we feel a bit like nobody and nothing, Jesus absolutely gets that. He gets what it's like not to be important, not to be noticed, not to have anyone specifically concerned about his view or his opinion or what was happening to him. And yet, he came anyway. So Jesus came from the glory of heaven. He came to be with us in all the mess of our human life. And then, of course, we know, because Easter is coming, Jesus died and rose again, beating death, dealing with our sin, and he returned to heaven. And as I imagined, I thought, what was that day like? That day like when Jesus rose and returned and ascended back into heaven. Can you imagine standing in heaven and seeing the risen, conquering Lord Jesus Christ ascending back into heaven? That must have been amazing. And I was thinking, as we did our carol service a couple of weeks ago, we focus in so much on the baby in the manger at this time of year that we forget that Easter is coming just round the corner. I nearly bought William 10 cream eggs yesterday to put in his Christmas stocking. So this morning, what I wanted to say to you is, in the midst of all of today, of lovely food, of great company, of presents, gifts, all this celebration, I just wanted to remind you this, that the big gift today is love. The big gift today is the love that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had for us, that they meant that they put into practice a rescue plan that was so costly, beyond price, to rescue us, so that we, 2,000 years later, can stand here on Christmas morning singing "Once in Royal David's City," singing "See Him Lying in a Bed of Straw," singing about what Jesus has done. So, one thing that struck me very much is that I often see Christian festivals as one-offs. So I'm like, now we're doing Christmas. So I'm in Christmas. And later in the year we'll do Easter. I like Easter very, very much. Easter is my favourite Christian festival. Then we'll do Pentecost. And we'll do Palm Sunday somewhere in the middle. You can tell I'm not brought up as an Anglican. And on we go through the year. I tend to see them. But I'm this year going to really try and see them for what they are, which is that they are the sweeping story of God's plan, of God's love. Not an accident, not a tragedy, not a roadmap that went wrong, but this amazing, amazing pattern and story of what Jesus chose to do for you and for me. So today, as you celebrate, I hope that you have a really wonderful time. We're just going to take some time now in prayer. And I'd like us just to really focus this morning. Maybe you would just like to pray for places in the world, people in the world, for whom things are not rosy and joyful today, that we might just be genuinely intercessory in our prayers as we lift up those who really need God's intervention this morning. So if you'd like to pray out loud, please do. If you'd rather just pray quietly in your own head and heart, that's wonderful too. But let's pray together.